Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
The issue is that you, in order to get unstuck, you have to be willing to make less money.
Yes.
So the most common question I get is, how can I add associates and not take a hit in my bottom line? You can't.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Welcome back, everybody. Gosh, super pumped, you know, just to be back recording again. I keep saying that, but I genuinely am grateful to be doing this. It's therapeutic for me, but a very, very special guest in the house, someone that I look up to a lot. We've had a good bit of time catching up, talking. You may know him from his own awesome podcast that he does with Dr. Peter Bolden, the Bulletproof podcast. But yeah, Craig Spodek's in the house.
Yeah, man. Good to be here.
How are you?
Well, I'm in the epicenter of the Sully world. I feel like I'm like in your head because I get to see this experiment, this social experiment
right.
You have going on.
Right.
Called 3D Dentist and Sullivan Dental Partners.
Today's a fun day too because everything's in action. 3D Dentist is doing the admin day.
Yeah.
I did a little work this morning.
What'd you do?
I delivered a hybrid.
Okay.
Saw a consult, which was great because we live streamed that to the admin action that was happening and then closed that case and then get to hang out.
Yeah.
So it's been a good day.
Well, I'm excited
to be
here.
What do you think? What do you think of the place?
I'm thoroughly impressed, buddy. Thoroughly impressed.
Well, thank you.
I'm blown away. You know, I look at what you've accomplished and, you know, you're 17 years younger than me, and it's incredible to see how far things have gone, how far you have grown this thing. I literally walked up because you didn't freaking pick me up.
Well, T-Bone has my truck. Okay?
It was only 0.1 miles. It just sounds better, though. I feel like I...
Sully made me walk from the hotel.
Yeah, Sully made me walk
he flies me in to speak to his study club.
Yeah, it was 0.1 miles, but it's definitely not a walkable journey because as I was walking, people looked at me like, you know, is he okay?
Why is this guy walking
in this
community?
There's certain areas that are just walkable. This is not a walkable community. Yeah. But anyway, nevertheless, I walked up. I'm like, holy crap. Like, this is just incredible. And then the dedication plaque that you put on the front to your father, and then to see the one that your father put to his father. It's really cool as a multi-generational dentist as well. This feels very much like what I would create. Like, our values are similar. I'm very proud of the way your support team interacts with you. I have like a very good radar for culture.
Yeah.
I can smell it. And, you know, just the manner at which you lead it, I have a lot of respect for you, buddy.
Well, thank you.
I'm really freaking proud of you.
You know,
really proud of you.
It's interesting you say that because that's something that I think has been important that I've wanted to create is especially the people that like, that were there when it was hard. Like, I talked about this not too long ago, but like the cost of growth, the mental, emotional cost of growth to you and to your team members. Right. And like, us making that decision to go from the old building to double down on this or that, like, they don't necessarily like want to sign up for that
No.
You know, I mean, that like that makes their life harder a lot of times. And that doesn't necessarily equate to more money then, because there's not more money to give.
Yeah.
And so I think people don't necessarily totally think about that cost that your team goes through to get where you're at. And there were, you know, there were days and times where those are the people, only people you can lean on, you know, when it's, you're just doing everything you can to get to this point, to build this and to do this. And so, yeah, I'm very grateful, because I could not have done it without them. And now it is fun to get to see everybody staying. You know, one of the things I love is, in our old building, we had basically no team lounge or kitchen. We had like a small 8x8 room where, yeah, you know, and then we had, at that point, we had probably 18 employees. So it was like, there was no, most people went to their cars to eat. They went off site to eat.
That was probably just to get away from you.
Probably. My leadership skills at that point, you're probably exactly right. Okay. No, you're probably not wrong, though.
I had a cheap shot. I had to take it. He gave me the alley-oop, but I had a dunk on you.
But they were, my team, those people that were there, the Andreas or the Aubreys of the team, will tell you that, like, yeah, where I was, where I know,
I saw when I said that, she was nodding her head, by the way. So we have a person working in the background. I'm like, I said it.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, one of the things that's more fun now is to come up at lunch and they're all out this summer on the patio,
yeah,
eating together, and like, yeah, people want to be here, they're staying, yeah, here, and I was like, well, like that to me was really cool.
Well, the fact that you even like acknowledge the fact that it was hard on your team, you're just miles ahead of the average dentist and the average leader, that you consider that, because I think so many people don't even think about, we got T-Bone here, let's mic him up.
Come on, T, hop in here. T, how are you? You had a good day?
I had a great day. I put some stuff together. I want to review it. I felt very productive today.
I love that. 3D dentist stuff?
Yeah, of course.
That's great. Love that.
All right.
That's
what I'm here to do.
Well, okay, let's get back on task. So we were talking about how, T, that a lot of times what we forget is that when we make significant changes in our practice, whether that's a new building, whether that's implementation or something, the cost that comes to our team, and how important it is to recognize that cost to your team, and that ultimately, at what point you get through that, being able to reward your team, not necessarily financially, but just creating a culture where the people that are willing to go through that with you without the financial gain are there to kind of support you, and you support them, and create that culture of things.
Well, I've just walked in on the conversation, so give me some context.
Well, that was that.
I was just talking about, you know, like, basically we just started recording a couple moments ago. Okay. And I walked up here, and I didn't know much about what Sully's created. I mean, I've seen pictures, but like, when you have a larger footprint like this, you have to physically see it. And I've spent like 2 hours with him, and just the way he interacts with his team, what he's created, I'm just blown away. Okay. Like, I had to check myself saying, like, am I just like a freaking idiot here? Like, what am I doing?
Are you doing something amazing?
No, right? No.
We call this Spodak Light over here. So.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
No, but I'm just telling you, as I walked up, I felt that way. I felt, Am I as successful as it should be? I mean, I'm old enough to be his dad. I figured out the numbers. You know, I'm 17 years older than Sully, and look at where he's at. Well, and again, it was a brief fleeting thing. Right. I just want to complete the thought. It was it was fleeting, because I had to remind.
Then I talked to him for 2 hours.
Yeah, like, oh my god, this guy needs a lot of work. No,
he's just fucked up his Everest.
No, well, that was part of it. No, I'm kidding.
Well, Craig, go ahead.
But let me just finish the thought. The thought was, for as human beings, it is a normal emotion to say, like, look what he's doing. I wonder if I'm doing enough. And it was fleeting, because I'm like, I'm just super proud of you. And I love seeing people grow great organizations for good reasons. Yeah. There's a lot of guys and gals out there that create amazing organizations, but at the end, they're just profit centers. What I see here in the little time I spent, you know, dealing with this team, is this beautiful culture.
Yeah, it's a culture.
Yeah, and it's supporting so many people. So I'm asking, like, how long has that person been with you, and how many employees here? But for every employee that you have, there's a network effect, and they're taking care of people's families. I'm really, really freaking proud. I'm really proud of not only what 3D Dentist is doing, but like what you've built. It's really inspiring. Thanks, and I have a very poor ability to lie. I got a great ability to bullshit. I can't lie. And I'm thoroughly impressed. And from my heart.
This could be, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's been fun.
Well, what I've seen is there was what I really, you got to go next door and see where it started.
Yeah. Okay, I saw it from an aerial
view. No, you got to go in and see.
I don't think I'd fit in there. I'm 6'5".
Yeah, you would have to duck to go through the hallway.
Because the exterior ceiling is like 7 feet tall. Yeah, so if there's duct work and electric, it can't be more than 5'5".
Well, I mean, work for Rick Sullivan.
Sullivans are short.
Yeah. It works for Rick. They're not.
But you know what I've seen, having been here for some time with Sully, at least, is the culture has not changed. And I say this with love and respect to Sully, but to me, the culture started with Rick Sullivan. Now, I don't know before Rick, okay, but I know Rick.
Yeah.
And so Rick has always started the culture, okay? Now, Sully has modernized that culture or millennialized that culture to a certain degree.
It's fitting.
But it's still Rick's culture, okay? And I've seen that stay the same. And what I've seen is the fear that it took to build the place, okay? And then who would ever thought it's too small?
Yeah.
And that's reality where it's at now. It's
my reality as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so it's no different than you, right? You guys are essentially the same story. Okay. Your dad started a practice that was successful. Okay. So, and then you've taken something and gone to the 10th degree with it.
Yeah. Just Sully did it faster.
But that's normal, by the way. I think that's normal because you had no blueprint to go by, did you, Craig?
No.
Right? So you were trailblazing that blueprint, correct?
Yeah.
And so, and then like I had no blueprint to go by.
Yeah, that was kind of my gift was and by my own doing, like I sought out and found, but it was like, okay, like I found a blueprint in you. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go listen to the dude and just, he did it. So I'm going to double down on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to you from afar and start trying to double down on, like on some of them, my gift was just being a good copier.
Yeah, well, the building's the easy part if you really want to distill it down. I mean, I know the building symbolizes.
It's the risky part.
Yeah, it is the risky part. But for me, what happened to me, what I look, and again, I'm just an observer here, so I don't know the actual details, but I look at, you had really good intentions, and it was a partnership between you and your dad. And when I got to the building, I realized I'm ill-equipped to run this thing, and it was a total shit show. So there was like a 7 or 8 year period where like it was out of control. So I jumped. I'm like, I did it for like, kind of like, F you, I'll do it. And then I got there and I'm like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing. And it got really bad. I didn't see that part of you. So you landed here and you're kicking ass like right
there
away.
There was a period, it may not have been that long, but there was a period that was like that. I mean, how do you plan for that though? Because there's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, I know we all get messages that are like, do I take the jump? When do I take the jump? Am I ready to take the jump? And I don't know if I would have been.
No, you're never ready.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been more or less prepared, or would you have been more prepared? Could you have been more prepared?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
You know, I don't think it's a question of preparation. It's a question of why.
You're saying it's more of a concept of why are you doing it?
Right. That's what I always pride myself on, because I meet a lot of people that say, I want to do what Sully did, and I want to do a T-Bone. I'm like, always like, why? And at the end of the day, if the why isn't really good, I don't want them to do it. there's a lot of most people have incredibly shitty whys if you really ask them.
I don't care if why is money. I mean, I have no problem.
Right, but
with
then
that.
There's a fat. There's an easier way to do that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like
buy real estate.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy commercial buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you want to be a dentist?
And that's the thing. Like people think like, oh, I want to own a practice. I'm like, well, why? Well, I want to make more money. I'm like, well, how much are you making as a dentist as an associate? You know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 700.
Most dentists make 5% more because they own a practice. Right.
So you work 80%
more. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think something that people need to understand is a distinction between owning a practice and owning a business.
Oh, yeah.
When you own a practice, you just own a job.
Yeah, but that's what most are doing.
Right, exactly.
So most will say, I want to own a practice, so they own a job. There's no entrepreneurial profit.
Right.
And that's a really enlightening process that we go through. I'm sure you go through with millennial dentists as well. I mean, 3D dentists as well. But like this exercise of take your P&L.
Yeah, are you actually making any money?
Right. And then I know you pay yourself $100,000 a salary.
Right.
You produced, you collected $1 million.
Yeah, you really owe yourself $300,000.
Yeah, are you willing to work for me for 10%? Yeah, because I'll give you 12%. Yeah. I'll give you 20.
Yeah, you know? No joke.
But when you take the P&L and you really boil it all down and they look at paying themselves an associate and their profit and loss shows that they're negative.
Yeah.
What a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
Pardon my French.
No.
You think that doesn't bother me?
Well, frankly, the
ladies that are in the room.
No, honestly, I think what's interesting is having no discussion about that type of thing prior to this conversation, how aligned we are on that and how how dentists have got to understand that whether they pay themselves, whether their accountant does it or not, on paper, they need to pay themselves as an associate so they can see.
You can't make decisions.
Is this even worth the pain, or what do I need to do to make it worth?
And I want to speak to the listener that if they've followed in my footsteps, you know, I had a top line of $4 million and a net profit of, you know, 800 something thousand at one point. And then I got to 7 million and a net profit of negative 100,000.
Yeah.
So talk about a total ass kicking. Like you just figure, like as a simple business person, I do $1 million, I make 10%. When I do $2 million, you know, maybe it'll be, $100,000 and $1 million, $200,000 and $2 million. That math does not always carry.
No,
it's hard to scale efficiency.
No, it is.
I would say it's almost impossible to scale efficiency. You know.
If you're willing to work in your practice, you can muddy all of it.
Yes.
So if you're a good producer, like the three of us were or are. You know, you can make $1 million or $1.5 million and fix all your problems. All your money problems go away.
But then you're stuck there.
Right. You're stuck there. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the negative. Yeah. I mean, I'm back in that seat again. I'm stuck in my office.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back working again. And so I'm stuck. And so that's the challenge is getting unstuck.
Yeah.
From the practice. But the issue is that
you, in order to get unstuck, you have to be willing to make less money.
Yes.
So the most common question I get is, how can I add associates and not take a hit in my bottom line? You can't. You can't.
You have to take it for a short period of time.
Right. I was looking at his numbers. He was showing me some really detailed information about like how he in certain months was training those doctors. And we saw like it was beautiful the way it played.
Yeah.
His production went down by like 80%. Help them, and now they're going back up.
But that was making the same. And now the beauty is he doesn't have to be here.
Or portions of the income that I was doing as the dentist are being replaced by,
which is exactly
building a business,
right? Which is what I wanted to do personally. My dad, much like Rick loves dentistry. He's 82. He's still kind of messing around the office. I love dentistry. I've done 25 years of it, and I'm done. I'm good. You know, my clinical practice now is I had a very real conversation with my office manager. Is like, you know, you're only generating X number of dollars per your room. Your room's more valuable than you're willing.
Somebody else, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'll phase out. She's like, we'll retire you.
You know, it's amazing, Craig. Like we speak the same language.
It's nuts.
The value of real estate.
It's nuts.
The value of an operatory, right?
Because
like my thing is and my team gives me such a hard time about this. Our 3D team is a hygienist is not the way to, like you have a 10 by 10 operatory, 10 by 12, whatever it is. You know, you could add a hygienist and a hygienist is worth $15,000 in direct revenue, maybe $30,000 in ancillary revenue to the dentist, right? So that's $45,000 in production from an operatory. I'd argue I can bring a dentist in and produce more than that. With that same operatory.
I take a counter to that.
I like to counter this. It's good.
Yeah, so I thought the same and now, if you have, in my experience, in my opinion, and it's very myopic because I have one office, but I get the privilege to work with other dentists. is the if you're going to not have the 1.5 to 2 hygienists per dentist, which is a traditional thing, you're going to have to supplant your business with a lot of marketing dollars.
Yes.
So a hygienist is not just the 30,000 per month she produces. She's the top, she's a wider top of funnel. He or she allows more patients to flow through. So in my experience and what I want, I don't want to build a whole bunch of sullies.
Yeah.
Because I think it's
not scalable.
That's hard. It is scalable. It's called clear choice. It's clear choice. But it requires a heavy duty. My model, I would like to have greater service to the community, more hygiene, and get to that 1.5 to 2 hygienists per doctor. So I'm expanding my facility. I'm adding 5 chairs. And all 5 will be hygienists. Yeah.
Now, a part of this, though, what's interesting is, okay, so...
Where are you getting the hygienists?
That was one thing was... Part of our discussion on this has been a lot of recently is that, like, hygienes are more... they're getting more and more expensive.
Right.
I mean, in some areas, it's crazy what they're asking for.
Right.
They're hard to find.
Right.
In a lot of areas.
Right.
And so helping people modify or grow their practices outside of being reliant on a hygiene base was one mindset behind it. And the other part, kind of to his counterpoint, which I thought was interesting, is that, and we see this, is that most associates, as you grow an associate model, don't have the diagnostic skills to extract as much dentistry out of, like, well, for us, it may take one hygienist to fill our schedule.
Well, you know, they may need like you two need 10 three. Or 12 patients a month. A green associate needs 50.
Yes.
Because they're going to strike out so much and they don't see the forest.
They don't see
the
dentistry. They can't communicate the dentistry.
Yeah.
All those things.
So, so it depends on what type. And I'm being a realist about my model and what I want to provide with that.
We're seeing that with mine because we're reliant on my ability to feed them more.
Right.
Let me take a counterpoint, not a counterpoint, just try to defend myself here a little bit. Let's assume I'm not willing to add to my facility, or I'm incapable of adding to my facility because I don't have the extra land next door, and then I would have to totally build a new place. Now, what am I supposed to do in that situation?
Well, we've made a presumption that you should add. You know, I want to add because I don't need to add. This is a hard expansion for me because it's a lot of money because of the way my building's laid out. So the cost to add the operatories is egregious. I won't tell you because I feel bad about what I would tell me to go F myself if someone told me what I'm going to do.
Tebow definitely would if it's bad. 5.
But I believe that, you know, there's a community need to serve the community better. And I also believe it's a more sustainable model for my specific dental.
Was he's building Invisalign, trying to have more people coming that way?
So it's, you know, every dental practice, I think we do a great disservice to our profession by painting with such broad brush strokes.
Yes.
Because when I go to this practice versus my buddy Trey Tippett or Dwight Pecora, anybody's practice, it is literally like a completely different business.
It's about what they want.
And when we say what you should do or what my model, it's just so nuanced, your area, your location, your demographics, your work style, what you want. I'm a raging extrovert. I want to be surrounded by 50 people all at all times. I get energy from being around people. There's a lot of introverted dentists. In fact, most of us dentists are introverted. They would hate this. They would hate what you've created.
I think the challenge, though, in growing in that way is that most dentists don't have your leadership skills.
I didn't have my leadership skills.
But they're incapable. But they're incapable of learning it.
Well, they're
unwilling to learn it.
Well, I was incapable and unwilling to learn it, and I had so many people crying and quitting that finally, it's like an alcoholic. I got sick and tired of this, being sick and tired. I got sick of my sickness. You know how many nights I went to bed like thinking about blowing up at something, and not blowing up. I'm just tall and I have a lot of energy. So if I look at you, some people wrong, they can get devastated by that.
Right.
It's intimidating.
I get that.
So I wasn't saying like, oh, what's your problem? I never did that. I was, you know, but my body language, you know, walk away. And then they'd cry and I'd be in bed at night thinking like, what type of asshole am I that I made this poor person cry? And I felt terrible about it. And I'm like, maybe I should just quit this whole thing. And it was a very hard process for me to realize that I had to just change the way I occur to people. And I asked my team, like, do you know when I'm in a bad mood? They say, yeah, you walk different. You breathe different. I'm like, well, could you help me like when I'm in that bad mood? Because I don't even know I'm doing it. Like, well, they would say, like, well, what am I going to do to you? Like, go tell you to, I'm like, yeah, just tell me anything. And sure enough, they would go over to me and say, like, hey, fix yourself. Like, go to your office.
They'll come to me and be like, hey, you need to go to apologize to so-and-so.
Right. Right. But that, it is not that, it is the willingness to be an observer of your character and say, I do not like this.
So what would you do differently? Because if someone, like, how does someone start to change that leadership ability when they're like, I have no idea how to lead and coach people.
Get training. I mean, you know, there's some people that think they're great at tennis and they suck at training.
Yeah. I know. You're great at tennis if you're only playing people lesser than you.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
I just, right. Well, I put myself in a very hard tournament. So for me, it was sink or swim. That's what I was trying to point to, I think, earlier when I said, I feel like you arrived here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like your leadership was refined. I got there and I was ill-equipped.
I was fortunate because T-Bone had in my ear, like, we have to have intentionality and clarity.
Yeah.
Like if we don't have clarity, as far as I could believe that I could even, you know,
yeah.
You can like dreams like someone, like how did you, it's like, well, gosh, I never, you know, if you had asked me 5 years ago that this would like you, how could I predict what will happen in the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, it's really difficult too. So you have to have the best intentionality and clarity going into something that you can. And that was helpful because, I mean, I remember there were certain decisions where he would ask me like the switch glass was one of them. He's like, is this, do you need this or is this about ego? And he was like, I don't have a problem if it's ego. I just think it's important that we have clarity on why we're building ops the way, why we're doing things and be okay with the ramifications of those decisions. And I think that was honestly what helped me us adapt well into the new space and not feel such quite chaos just because we had a very clear vision of what we were trying to.
Yeah, that's great. It's great that you had T-Bone for that because that's a real friend. You know, a real friend is one that challenges you. And I think a lot of people just want to say, oh, go get him. Like, what the hell is that guy doing? So that's a real friend to you.
Well, you said, listening.
And that's what I was kind of pointing out earlier is like, you're a great tennis, using that with the tennis player. You're a great tennis player if you hang out with people lesser than you, right?
Yeah.
And so and here's the challenge for most dentists is that we're hanging out with people that aren't motivated as us. Okay, if we stay in our little bubble of the local dental society, XYZ, we're surrounded by people that we pay so they don't ever challenge us.
That's a big problem. Yeah.
And we don't, you know, and so that's part of the challenge is that we've got to get out and we've got to push ourselves. We've got to get uncomfortable, and most people aren't willing to do that.
Well, let me ask you, why do you have to get yourself uncomfortable? Why do you have to push yourself? Why do you have to challenge yourself?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
As long as, then what I tell, look, I'm a pretty direct person is if somebody's, if you're complaining about something, then you need to get uncomfortable so you can stop complaining about it.
Yeah, whatever, you're not changing, you're choosing.
Right. And yeah. So, and if you're happy with, like, I'm jealous of people that are happy with, I call it this.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Like, I'm so jealous of people that are just happy. You know, I'm like, God, I wish I could just be happy.
And you're not happy?
No, I'm, let me back up, content.
Okay, people, you're not content?
No, because I keep wanting to, I've got to keep creating.
Okay, so let me, I just wanted to go in.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to be able to do that. I just want to know what drives you. So you're not content.
No, because because if I'm not making progress, I in my opinion, I'm dying.
Right. Well, you are dying, first of all. Sure. So I just hate to break it.
That out of your head.
The last couple years, I feel like I've extended my life a little bit. So.
Okay, but tell me, like, what does progress mean? I mean, look at what I walked into this place. There's, I don't know, 20 office managers in here right now, maybe more. And I only listened to maybe 5 minutes of it, but you made those lives better by what you were saying. I heard that what you were guys talking about, empowerment and helping them find their true purpose and then going through that. And look at the people around here. Like, what is the measure?
I want more of that.
Okay.
I want to touch more. I want to affect more people.
And okay. That's interesting. I don't know. And maybe this is like, I'm in a weird stage right now. And I'm bouncing off of Peter with this stuff too, because Peter's like you. And I'm talking to my buddy Trey Tippett the other day. He's like, I'm only up in three offices this year. I want to open up 40 next year. I want to get $1 billion. He'd probably kill me for saying this, but he's a pretty transparent person. I'm like, wow. Like, as he's talking to me, I'm like at my farm, like,
you're like, I want nothing to do with this.
I'm not driven by money.
No, I know. I'm not hearing that.
I'm driven by how many more people can I impact? Look, Craig, for me, it's pretty simple. Okay. Dentistry has been an unbelievable profession to my family. Okay. To my dad, who left India as a dentist, never practiced in the United States of America, did denture lab work as a side gig to help our family survive. For me, watching him make dentures in our basement. And let me back up, in our motel kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. That inspired me to want to be a dentist, to, you know, growing up with pretty much nothing.
Right.
To building a practice that supported me, to building a business that supported other people.
Right.
To being able to be out and be able to expect other lives. And what I'm seeing now is, more and more people are unhappy with dentistry than ever. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Right, but that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So we're fulfilling that purpose. Yes. We're reaching more people.
So I want to reach even more. I want to reach more the dentist.
It's just interesting because that's what we're doing right now. Yeah. So we're like, you just said, I want to reach more people. We just decided to drop this podcast. There's going to be more people reach because we just decided to do this. And someone's listening right now saying, I feel the same way. I'm really unhappy with dentistry. And the beautiful thing about dentistry is all three of us have discovered is it can be leveraged to maximize whatever you want.
We all practice differently.
This is dentistry right now. Mm-hmm. We're not. There's no handpieces around us. This is we're talking to dentists. Oh. You're supporting
your office is running. My office is running. Right. His office is running.
Yeah. But it's past 3 o'clock, so it's closed.
Oh. Yeah. I think it speaks more to my bias and where I'm at. You know, I was just talking about something with a personal friend of mine that he's running really hard. He's a inspirational guy. And he's just pushing and exhausting himself like in every possible way. I was talking to his wife. I'm like, why is he doing that? Like, he shouldn't do that. And she says, it's probably more about you, Spodek, than him. Like, you're trying to soften, you know, I think I'm trying to soften my, I don't know, I'm getting lost with this.
Your transition to contentment?
Maybe I feel guilty about not being so fucking motivated.
Like, cause
I don't know.
But at some point, like, that's the part that I like, you know, I like to see it. Cause like, to me, I'm like, okay, as someone who like, as a watcher, you know, I don't know you that well, you know, from the outside, the times we've gotten to kind of catch up and whatnot, but seeing someone who's like, okay, they built this. And then at some point they said, it's enough.
Right, but the same token, like if some PE company came over and said, we'll pay you 25 times EBITDA, 25 multiple, which we all know is impossible.
Right.
I would actually say no.
Because it's you've transitioned to a different level of in your life where it's like, okay, it's not about the money.
I need it though. I love my organization. I love
you
what I've
that.
I love it. So it's like a part of my Like I did have a DSO at one point tell Peter and I, name your number. We didn't name our numbers. Peter regrets that, by the way.
Yeah, well, Peter's like,
the numbers are different now, right?
Well, yeah. You know, but I really thought about it. I was like 85, 90% in my head, I'm going to do it. And then it felt like an existential thing for me, like a death. And I was so clear and so visceral to me that I didn't want to do that.
It's interesting. I signed papers to sell.
Yeah. You know, I signed the LOI.
Yeah. So,
but,
same.
But,
yeah.
But when it came down to it, it was so clear that I didn't want to do that. I felt like I was dying. Like the way you said, I feel you're either growing or die. I felt like this would kill me. Yeah. And I said, well, am I being irresponsible to my family? You know,
Frank, well, I would argue that you have a greater purpose and a greater skill.
Than what?
Than being a dentist.
I'm being a dentist right now.
Sure. We're being different types of dentists.
Yeah, but I'm not practicing much clinical dentistry, but I can advise the dentist that I work with and stuff like that. So I still, you know, there was something on Facebook the other week. Someone did a video tour of my practice and it kind of went more viral. And there's a lot of people in dentistry that don't know what this practice looks like. Mine. And someone wrote, it's a dental consultant. He's like, why would this person become a dentist if they're just going to open up that? Most dentists want to become dentists because they want to help people and see patients. This guy clearly wasted his time becoming a dentist.
Which couldn't be more wrong of an assumption.
So he doesn't expect someone tags me and says, at Craig, like, talk to this guy. I was like, first of all, how do you know what most dentists want? You know, and how do you know that they didn't serve patients for 25 years? And also, how do you do this if you're not a dentist? Could you do this if you weren't a dentist?
No.
Could you take 2 months off of your clinical production and help those two new associates to the level you did?
Yeah.
Could you design the place like that?
No.
None of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's our ability to dentist is what gives us the freedom and the economics to create.
Right.
It's really like a license to leverage that creation.
That's how my dad sold me on dentistry.
What you want to do.
He says dentistry is a capital income producer, and then you can be an entrepreneur with the money you
make. Interesting.
That's how
your dad told you that?
That's how he sold me.
Oh, you're so lucky that you had a dad like that.
Yeah, talk about Ford.
Yeah, you're like an Indian Kiyosaki.
Whatever that is. But yeah.
Oh, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. And, but I haven't done, but that's what dentistry has been for me, from whether it was the Dental Town meeting to other investments I've done to 3D dentists. All that money has come from the practice. Right.
Your day job created a money machine.
Yeah, right. And that's where my real passion is. My real passion, I'm fortunate, humbly, to self, at least, I believe I'm a good dentist, right?
Oh, of course you are.
But, you know, my real passion is all the other stuff I get to do. As you call still being a dentist, which I don't consider being a dentist, I consider that being a you know, leader, being a, you know, inspirer,
coach.
A coach for somebody, right?
Yeah.
That's where my real passion is helping others. Like, I get so much pride out of seeing Sully be more successful than me.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me so much joy. And I have people say to me, like, why haven't you grown your practice? And my ego wants to say, I could. But it's not where my energy needs to go. Like,
right.
For me to get where I want to get to for my happiness, like being stuck in the office, having to grind is not enjoyable to me.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, 2 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you had a magic wand, would you wave it and not be there anymore? Grinding?
Take away some life circumstances, then yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it.
Yeah, I would.
100%. So what's next? If you extricate yourself from the chairside dentistry, what would you want to do? Because you mentioned bigger than dentistry.
I would extricate myself from being the primary owner of the practice.
Okay.
Owner or producer?
Well, I would start with being the primary owner, extricate myself from that.
Couldn't you have it be that you're not the primary producer, but you're the primary owner?
Yes, the answer is absolutely correct.
Of course you could, yeah.
The answer is yes.
That's you.
Right.
Yeah.
Primary owner, not primary producer.
But I want to have... My brain doesn't allow me to separate myself in two different places very well right now.
From what to what?
From my practice to 3D.
Okay,
like, I'm literally, you know, my practice is like, hey, we can get more patients for you to work a third day. 3D's like, I'm trying to grow that.
Yeah.
And there's only so much day and time and mental bandwidth I have.
Yeah.
I don't have the bandwidth I had when I was 35 years old.
Yeah.
Okay,
because of your, just like your the aging process, or you're more occupied?
I would argue I'm more comfortable in, as much as I say I'm not content, I'm more comfortable and content.
I know, me too, me too.
You know what I mean? I've made
How old are you, T-Bone?
47.
Okay, I'm 52. Yeah, I think things do change, though. Yeah, you got to be cognizant of that.
I can't hustle the way, I'm not saying I can't hustle the way I used to. I don't have to hustle the way
right.
I used to.
Well, comfort. It's comfort. You know, you have passive income. That's like your passive income was your dream dental income when you started.
No shit.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be a practicing clinical dentist 3 years from now.
Okay, so they got to fix that.
Yeah.
3 years, you got to walk backwards from
that. Right. And so for me, just to be totally transparent, the challenge I had 3 years ago is I was 50, 60% of the practice revenue. Okay. So I had to dial that down to make it even more sellable. Okay. And then shit changed again. And I'm back to being 50, 60% of the practice revenue.
Yeah.
Right. Because I had to, from life circumstances, to ramp back up.
Yeah.
And so now, just like I did before, now I got to figure out how to ramp back down.
You're coming at the back of a cycle of getting your ass kicked.
Yes.
So
I got my ass kicked.
Right. But the optics of what you're speaking to is more emotional than, it's the situation.
Yeah.
So this is,
the unique part about it.
But I'm afraid that if I don't try to figure out how to exit, that the same shit's going to happen to me again. The emotion part of me has that fear, like, oh my God, let's say I find a way to make myself 10, 15, 20% again. And then I have this fear, like I get my ass kicked, somebody leaves, XYZ happens, I'm going to have to step back in, and that's going to hold me back from what I'm really passionate about. And I'm not willing to take that risk this time.
I'm just not.
So then tell me, if you don't mind, what's the real passion then?
It's coaching and training.
Okay, but for whom? Because you said it's bigger than dentistry. Do you have an idea of doing something bigger than dentistry? Or you're not at liberty to say?
No. I am very, very comfortable that my station in life is going to be to work with dentists.
Okay.
My ego and my humble ego says I have more to give. But
it's interesting. Sully was saying that too.
But I have more to give, but I am very, very happy to give in this arena because I say this with pure belief. There aren't, and there's too many vultures in our profession. Okay. And there's not enough pure hearted people like us three in this room. Okay. That if I left, that they were, I again, humbly, there would be a vacuum that a vulture would fill.
Yeah, okay? For sure.
And I'm money conscious. I'm not money motivated.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm very happy being in dentistry because dentistry has made it so easy for someone like me to exist and to have a unique voice.
Well, also because there's so many freaking vultures.
Yes.
There's so many predatory practices, whether they're financial planners or quasi-consultants or people that just hyper-consultants
that haven't owned a practice since 1980
How about consultants that really are not consultants, but they're financial services company and they teach you how to like optimize your hygiene program, but then they sell you a whole bunch of shitty whole life insurance or something. It is... We don't have it. We are prey.
Yeah,
we're being preyed upon. So I wish, and I say this humbly as well, that there'd be more T-Bones or Sullies out there.
But here's the beauty of it. We will create more of that as we get out there and spread our message and allow people to join our movement, our cause, our belief, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
As we can help that. Because dentistry does not have to go the way of medicine. Okay, medicine is jacked.
Yeah.
Okay, medicine, and I come from a family of seeing physicians prosper through, you know, Indians, like we were, like used to have ads in India to bring physicians to this country, okay?
Yeah.
And they would come here in the 70s and 80s and just
out-hustle,
just get rich and wealthy.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I've seen that, and what I've seen is the medicine, it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It sucks, and we are on a path to that, and that's fine if our profession chooses that. That's a choice we all make. I'll be dead, okay, so it won't matter to me, but we don't have to go down that route. But at the same time, we cannot stay the cottage, non-business oriented that worked in the 1980s and 90s. We can't stay that anymore because our competition is no longer the semi-smart dentist down the street. Our competition is Wall Street.
This is a business.
Oh, yeah.
Our competition is MBAs.
And they're really good. The DSOs are getting much better.
They're
much
great, better. Man.
You know, there's a lot of, and I'm not advocating for anybody to go join a DSO, but like in the last 2 months, I have had to talk 5 different dentists off the ledge that they're working for a private dentist office that has not paid them at all, like completely defrauded them. So like, yes, the private dental office on the street will pay you 32 or 35 and the DSO may only pay you 29, but the DSO will fucking pay you.
Yeah. It's insane. You know?
So, I mean, it's just like, it's making me very dark on what the private dental market is like, unfortunately. And I want to circle back to one thing. I don't know if this is the time, but you're talking about hygiene. You said hygiene. How are we going to hygiene? I think the greatest fracture in dentistry is the dentist hygiene relationship is totally fucked and it's really upsetting me. So I'm batting 100 now. Every time I meet a hygienist anywhere, I say, what is your ideal salary per hour? They always tell me that 100%. They can always answer that. And 100% of the time that I ask a hygienist, what do you produce or collect in any given week or month of your career?
They can't answer.
They can never answer it. So by virtue of not having proper business language where no one's speaking proper
transparency,
just language, we can't even talk. There's going to be a disconnect. You know, it's like we all have a marketplace that knows our value based on what we bring to the table. Yeah. You know, so everything in for providers is eat what you kill, except maybe the Cleveland Clinic, which is a different model. But the hygienist as a provider does not have that value. They don't understand it. So I'm really proud of Bulletproof. We have that Bulletproof hygiene thing.
Yeah.
And that we build a compensation that's based on productivity. So, and what muddies the waters even more is there's a whole bunch of CPAs out there that are telling dentists things like, you're paying your hygienist $50 per hour. You need to fire her. You can't pay her that.
Replace them with a $60 an hour.
Well, what I would do is when you do the numbers, your $50 per hour hygienist could actually be fairly compensated and your $24 per hour one could be completely overpaid.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what they produce. What
right.
The value is to the
but in dentistry, we don't understand percentages.
Yeah.
So people will say like, yeah, I'm going to Sullivan Dental Partners. Yeah, I'm paying for this whole place. No, dude, we have one CT machine. We have 6 for each doctor. The dentist on the street, one doctor, one CT, one doctor, one CEREC. This is being leveraged. There's economies of scale happening here. So dentists don't understand, you know, even that hate post that I was tagged on where it's like, imagine what his rent's probably $30,000 a month.
Probably more.
Yeah, it is. It's 55. But guess what? It's 3% of my top line.
Yeah,
who gives a shit? Your $3,000 office is 18%.
It's like people that say that, like when I share, when we're talking, is okay if I share your marketing numbers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When somebody says, you know, I have a couple of these things. I'm like, if you want to do what we're doing, then you got to did what we did. Okay. And so if you want to do 15 arches a month, then you need to spend $20,000 a month in the marketing.
Right.
Okay. And they're like, well, I would never spend $20,000 a month.
It's ridiculous. I could never do that.
I would spend $40,000 a month.
Right.
Because once
I would be spending more if I had another doctor to do more arches.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Like, we have a friend of ours, his marketing was working so good, he turned it off.
Right.
I go. Why would you turn it off? Just double down on it, man.
You have a doctor operatory problem. Yeah. You don't have a marketing problem. You have a doctor. You need more doctors. But that's the way a typical dentist thinks. They think in the empirical number, not the percentage of the revenue.
And
crazy.
If we go on that lines, we had one of our Indian guys. He says, my accountant says I need to be at 25%. I go, yes.
At the profit.
End of the year, so for his team cost.
Oh.
I go, at the end of the year, yes, that's the number we want to be at. But he says, if I hire somebody, it's going to be more than 25%.
Yes. So
I go, yes. Okay, but they're going to produce at some point in time.
Oh,
so for a 3, 4 month period, you're going to go up to 30%.
Right.
Okay, but then they will bring it back down to 25%.
It's like, and arguably, at that point,
I'm selling too many cars, but if I buy more inventory, I'll spend more money and I won't be able to. Yeah, no, you buy the inventory, you sell. And no one teaches us this. Yeah. I think the reason why the hygiene dental relationship is fractured is because we don't have this training in dental school. Yeah. You know, it's really scary. And even my dad, God bless him, a wonderful dentist, but he never understood any of this stuff.
Well, and then we don't have the leadership then to take the time to work through those relationships and build those and reset things. I mean, that's the challenge we see, and I'm sure you see it, that doctors are so busy grinding.
Yeah.
So busy producing.
Right.
That they won't build any sort of
team when it's time to work on the business. You're fucking exhausted.
So there's no time for coaching. There's no time to lead. There's no time to work on your business.
No, it's the tyranny of the urgent, the toilet, the person, the broken temporary. It's always, you're always dealing with something urgent.
It was amazing. Over the past,
sorry to cut you off. Our colleagues make it worse. Since you're not working today, Dr. Sullivan, since you're not working, you're not working today. No, I'm just not seeing patients.
Yes.
Well, you're not working. You're not working.
It's amazing. Yeah. I'm dealing with this with my main, the person that fills my schedule.
Yeah, you're not working today.
I'm like, what do you mean I'm not working?
I'm working more now than I need to.
Or here. If you don't let me have a day to figure out how to mill the zirconia hybrids and how to paint them, I will never be able to
do beyond that, what about like looking at the numbers and trying to find support for that? Like, we are our own worst critics. Like, you know, you don't work anymore. I'm like, no, I'm in the office 5 days a week.
And that's why private equity is crushing us.
Exactly.
Because they work on their businesses. They work on
They have somebody to work on.
Sure, yes.
Well, they don't see patients, so they're never working. They have tons of time.
They never work.
All the DSOs guys out there, don't work.
Yeah. Well, it's cuckoo. It's such an amazing profession, Greg.
Oh, my God.
What other profession do you have a faucet that you can turn on and turn off?
Yeah, you mean PPOs, right?
Or PPOs.
Or just anything.
Or patient,
working more.
Hey, you know, I had a third kid. I need to make more.
Go learn to do another skill.
Add your scope.
We have so many opportunities.
Just an extra day a week.
Yes.
I need to make more money. I can go to the well.
Yes, I can turn the faucet on.
Yeah.
And let's pretend there's no well to go to. Let's pretend I'm working all the hours, all the days, everything. Then you know what you can do? You can take the least profitable procedure off the table and replace it with a slightly more profitable procedure.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can take the milk off the shelf and replace it with M&Ms. I'm just making that up because they're more profitable.
You're showing your convenience store background, by the way. I appreciate that.
He learned that from his dad, too.
And so what profession gives us that ability?
No, it's
beautiful. On top of that, we get to be altruistic guests. We get to help patients. None of them like, most of them don't like us, but we get to help. We get to help people make an amazing living doing a profession versus going out and being like literally laborers.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, I don't know the statistics, but I will argue that probably half of dental team members have an associate's college degree at best. Okay. And we get to help so many of them. And how many, you know, I remember so many years ago, Melinda, who was my first employee, she sat down with me one day at our Christmas party. She goes, "Remember it was just me and you at our Christmas party?"
It's hard to call a Christmas party.
Yeah. And then she goes, "I look around today, it's 40 of us."
Wow.
You know, and she goes, it's like, you guys have built this. Like, think about how many lives you're affecting. And that was just employees. That wasn't families.
Right.
You know, that wasn't kids. That wasn't anything. And see, to me, that's the noblest part of what we do, is the ability to affect the lives. And let's look at it this way. Let's look at like a Megan in my office, or Meredith in my office, an Aubrey in your office, an Andrea in your office. Like, we've given them the ability to go from entry level to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And like,
it's very rewarding.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And I love the fact that just by virtue of the dentist patient relationship, we get to focus on people getting optimally well, kind of like a physical, like a trainer or something like that. Medical doctors come in and out of your life for crisis. You know, even your family practitioner usually
prescription writer at this point.
Exactly. And that's all it's distilled down to. And unfortunately, with the compensation reimbursements, they can't afford to talk to you. It's so fast. So we're still in this zone where we get to see people regularly when they're not sick and just talking to them. And for a person like me who loves relationships and, you know, multi-generational practice as well, like, that is what fulfills me. So the relationships of the team, the relationships of the patients, but the beautiful thing about dentistry on top of that all is it's flexible.
Yeah.
So if you are in a situation where you're trapped and you are negative in your entrepreneurial profit, you can actually take your book of business and bring it to a guy like you or Sully. No, not even that. You can actually just work with another doctor or sell it. Or, I mean, look, you can go anywhere in the United States that will honor your license and you can open up a practice and you'll be fine.
Cool.
Like in America, I joke, but this is like a dentist. Again, back to how amazing dentistry is. At the end of the day, you can declare bankruptcy and go get a job making a couple of hundred grand a year.
Yeah, try that as a restaurateur.
Right.
When you convince a couple investors to invest $3 million in your restaurant and it bombs, you're done.
You're done.
So that's what
do? Go get a job as a cook for 15 bucks.
And that's what I thought too, by the way. When I built my building, I said the worst case scenario at the time. California is a different place when I built my building. But I said the worst case scenario, I'm going to move to Carmel, California, and I'll find a dentist to work with. Or maybe I'll buy just two or three chairs and I'll be set. I'll make $200-300 grand. Who cares?
That's a pretty good plan.
If that's your worst case scenario, they always say that thing, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? That's what dentistry is. That's what dentistry is.
You may fail in the micro.
Yeah.
But like,
you won't, because you'll learn.
But you won't fail in the macro. Yeah, because with a license, barring that you do something idiotic to lose your license. Okay.
But then you can be a consultant like us.
With that being said, because we will go on and on and on with these three. We have three people who own and run their own podcasts. We can talk for hours and hours and hours.
Did you plug the Bulletproof
podcast? I have put the Bulletproof podcast. I want Craig just to plug it. But look, at the end of the day, what I will tell you all that are listening is that if you like this stuff, if you're like, wow, what they're talking about, that's the kind of stuff I want to be about. That's the stuff I want to learn more. Well, great news, because both these guys here run unbelievable programs and opportunities to do that. So I think both of you should share what those look like. Craig.
So we have the Bulletproof Dental Practice podcast. Me and my partner, Peter Bolden. As he tells people, I just ride his coattails. So I think that's pretty fair to say. We have a summit once a year.
Summit is great. Took my team to the summit last year in Nashville, and it was absolutely a blast.
Thanks, buddy.
Great job. So really
we got one
good.
Coming up in Scottsdale, June 12th and 13th. Be bulletproofdentalpractice.com. And then we have a mastermind, and we take 30 people per year, and we delve deep on this whole pathway from what you want to create, know thyself, and then visioneering and creating a plan, and then all the way down to fulfillment, through re-engaging and all this stuff. We have Bulletproof Dental Hygiene, Bulletproof Office Management. I think we're pretty much aligned to what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's very similar. I love that.
And look, if you guys love Sully, you know what we do. So there we go.
My pitch.
But here's what I will say is, it's kind of like with me and Moody, okay? Is there's enough out there that we don't compete with each other.
I don't know who Moody is, sorry.
He runs Implant Pathway. He owns Implant Pathway.
Okay, right? Got it, yeah.
And so people always say, why do you guys have each other on the podcast? You compete with each other. They go, no, we don't. We don't. Like, we believe in abundance, right?
Yeah.
And there's more than enough out there, and we need to support each other. Yeah. Because if there's not people like us, it's vultures. Right?
No, most of the business that would go to us is actually going to the vultures.
Unfortunately, massive.
Like, I wish you could get 10 times more popular and us 10, and it still would be the most going to the vultures because they're just too good.
Yeah,
they're marketing machines, and people just eat it up. And unfortunately, it just doesn't
people
serve
don't
them.
Want to do the work it takes.
Right.
It's like if I told you can take a magic bean and get there.
Yeah.
You would buy that before the person tell you the truth that you're just going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, thank you, Craig, for coming on the show.
Thank you for
your time. Craig's in town speaking to our study club.